about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. What we've learned to do from the time that we're born, and probably before we're born, is learn how things group together. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, Gestalt Principles and Language Development.
Those Germans. It's actually interesting, right? So if you delve into the history of psychology, most people who've thought about the history of psychology at all because of the education they've gotten have thought, well, you know what? Prior to about the 1950s, all there was behaviorism, this kind of vast conspiracy among American psychologists to focus primarily on data that you could collect. And so you might think, well, that was it. That was all there was to psychology. And we sort of teach it that way. In Germany, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, there was this really fascinating movement among psychologists, particularly perceptual psychologists, but actually expanding out to other psychologists as well. And it was this Gestalt school of psychology. And what they were interested in fundamentally was, how do we take the stuff we are perceiving, the stuff that is hitting our eyes, the things that we're hearing, and turn that into the experience of objects and the reality that we share? And that is what the Gestalt movement was all about.
And, you know, we have to think how the history of psychology colors all of this, because before there was a thing called psychology, psychology was from philosophy. And one of the things that kicked behaviorism into play was the idea that you could actually measure things and quantify behavior and quantify relationships between stimuli and behavior and reinforcements and punishments and those kinds of things. And that kind of ability to actually quantify what was going on was totally new. I mean, it was, and it's understandable perhaps that sort of took off as that's it.
One of the things that the behaviorists also ended up focusing on was the prospect that pretty much everything that happens in human cognition is learned. It was a very strong, what's called an empiricist research program, meaning we learn to do stuff over the course of our lives. And one of the things that Gestalt School was really looking at is, what are the principles that the brain seems to bring to bear that may actually not have to be learned, that may actually be innate principles of perception that allow us to group things from the very beginning. So we don't need to be rewarded in order to notice that a particular thing forms an object.
Right.
That seems to be just a part of the way that the perceptual system is set up. It is making a set of assumptions about the way that the world works. And we need those. We come in some ways preloaded with some of those, in order to be able to allow the rest of the work that we do to get off the ground, because there is, of course, a tremendous amount of learning that we have to do.
Right. And as it, in all good theories in science, good theories are falsifiable. And the crack in the armor, it was more than a chink, it was a crack in the armor, was B.F. Skinner overreached, right? He wrote a book called Verbal Behavior, in which he was trying to demonstrate that we learned language only through a series of behaviors and reinforcers. And Noam Chomsky, the very famous linguist and quite a public intellectual in the United States, wrote just a scathing review of verbal behavior. And that sort of illustrated in a very dramatic way how there's got to be some stuff already in there, as Art just says. It's not just that we come into the world as blank slates and then stuff happens and we learn. That there have to be things that are that we're predisposed to do, ways our brains are organized that lead us to behave and think in certain ways. And it's not just a matter of, like, you've got a computer and you're programming it from scratch and there's no machine code already in there. We do have machine code that's
right.
Already in there.
Yeah. Of course, you know, the fascinating thing there, too, is I love the way the pendulum swings back and forth. So Chomsky writes his review of verbal behavior. And at that point, the field of linguistics begins to shift. Almost all of it's actually built in.
Yeah.
And, you know, early language experience just shifts a couple of small things here or there that are unique to your particular language. That pendulum has actually shifted way back in the other direction. Yeah. So there clearly are some things that are built in, but there's a tremendous amount of learning that goes on in people's ability to learn all of the aspects of language, from speech sounds to grammar and so on. And so, you know, there's a continual interplay between, so I used the word empiricist before. What are we learning? There's also, the nativist end of things, which is how much stuff is built in. And there's a constant tension in theories of development and learning between those two poles. Essentially, how much, for example, with humans, how much of our abilities reflect things that are built into the system that we more or less have from the beginning, and how much are things that are learned over time? And I should make one clarification. When I say in there from the beginning, I don't mean that they manifest themselves from day one.
Right.
But just that the system is set up so that this is something that will emerge at the right time.
This is the nature of inquiry. It's not a matter of this stuff's attributable to this part and this part. These two features of human experience, and every organism, interact. I mean, we are born with capacities and predispositions that may or may not ever come to light depending on what our experiences are. And so our experience certainly, I mean, it would be ridiculous to say our experience didn't govern a lot of what we become. But many of the parameters and capacities and capabilities are in some ways pre-established by the genetic predispositions that we come with. But it's not an either-or thing. It's the interactivity of those two features of who we are that really determine what we're going to become.
Next week, we'll talk about framing with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.